Talk Radio 790 KABC, hour number two of this, the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. I do not believe in synchronicity. I don't believe in coincidences. I think just sometimes it's like, okay, that's either God or undeniable. I was just telling Wayman about an incident I saw happen in Canada of a man just at a public, probably a protest, speaking against transgenderism. But nothing vicious, nothing. He's just standing there with a sign around his neck. So the mob comes around him, starts screaming expletives to a point where they choked him and punched him in front of police, Canadian police. The aftermath, he shoots a video, his interaction with the Canadian police. He's got his face cut and he's got it all on video. The police basically go, oh, it was mutual. So I was just trying to find Wayman, the guy on Twitter, and Jordan Peterson, who I follow. Many of you know who Jordan Peterson is. If you don't, find out. He just posted a video. It's called What is Happening in France? Essentially, protest against the Tower of Babel centralized elitist. There is a huge crowd in Paris that has formed. They've had enough of this. And it's just ironic that I just talked about the French Revolution and Victor Davis Hanson. So let me circle back on that. A la Jen Psaki, shall I? It's called Our French Revolution, Victor Davis Hanson. Just Google the dumb thing. You'll find the commentary. Talked about the Jacobins, who were the revolutionists that, in essence, were the loudest that tried to destroy France in the late 1700s. And it's a great commentary. And yet it's going on maybe in France right now, let alone what's going on in our country. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Today is acknowledged as Good Friday. This is the day that, I'll speak very generalistically, the Christian faith acknowledges this is the day that Jesus died on the cross. And we call it Good Friday. Obviously, through the lens of Sunday's resurrection. I always struggle with this day. God in his mercy moved the focal point of the fullness of time from Friday to Sunday. If we stay too long on today, we miss the movement of resurrection. Some say, I don't believe Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, you can believe anything you want. If you honestly investigate it, there were hundreds of eyewitnesses, people of all walks of life, that saw Jesus again after he was crucified. We remind ourselves year after year of the importance of our souls. We celebrate, strange word, the death of Christ, a celebration of mourning, because resurrection turns into jubilation. At minimum, we need a once-a-year reminder of what God has done for us in Christ. And again, I say this as a man, 54 years of my life, I'm like, oh, please. Weak people need God. I mean, I had it all figured out until I had an encounter with the risen Savior. But Good Friday, I remember growing up as a Catholic boy. We couldn't eat meat. Remember, I think fish was an option. We're like, fish, ugh. And here we are, many years later. We're in the year 2023 on planet Earth. More than ever in 2023, we need a Savior. Donald Trump is not the savior of the world. Joe Biden, I have to be careful what I say about him. Savior, politics, no. This is a spiritual issue. When you hear things about the soul of America, I think this is the battle for the hearts and souls of people. Again, I, for 54 years of my life, I said, no, thank you. Now I look at this day, and if you want to read a book, wherever you stand in faith or not in faith, read a book called The Case for Christ by a man named Lee Strobel. Lee was a journalist for the Chicago Tribune many, many years ago. You'll date your age if you remember the Ford Pinto exploding gas tank. Lee broke that story as a journalist. It was covered up. Evidently, they had meetings to figure out how least expensive it would be. They figured it'd be least expensive to have some engines blow up and people die than somehow return and recall all the Pintos and fix them. Lee broke that story. Lee was an atheist. His wife came to Christ. The D word was mentioned. He was so outraged, so upset. Because of his journalistic background, he was going to write a book proving no such person as Jesus. So he started The Case for Christ. If you read that book with an open mind and an honest heart, or an honest mind and an open heart, it's what happened to me. I read that book. It turned me upside down. I'm like, could it really be true? Jesus was crowned by his captors with a garland of thorns. Mockery. It's just unbelievable, especially if you've ever been to Jerusalem. If you've ever been to Israel. I was there in 2014. Jesus' substitutionary death for his people revealed that the battle for souls was far more than a battle for what makes us us. I love reading old Christian books. John Stott once wrote in the book The Cross of Christ, what God in Christ has done through the cross is to rescue us, disclose himself, and overcome evil. I think I need to say that again. What God in Christ has done through the cross is to rescue us, disclose himself, and overcome evil. And then a man named Jared Bridges writes this in the Washington Stand. The good news of Good Friday is that this battle, this war, is ultimately one-sided. Victory for souls is won on the cross of Christ and only on the cross of Christ, and we as combatants in this battle must be captured by the cross to have any hope of Sunday's resurrection. The alternative leaves us stranded on Friday. And that's anything but good. Wherever you stand in this very short life, I pray that if you don't know this Jesus, or if you're not right with God, not a God of your own making. We live in a day and age where we as human beings, we want to make God in our image. We've just rebelled against him. Look at the mess of our culture. And you may go, well, I have religious abuse. I don't believe in that stuff. I'm spiritual but not religious. Okay, knock yourself out. Okay, whatever it means. But my friends, we are living under a spirit of deception right now. It's undeniable. Good people that you know, you can't even have a rational, logical conversation about anything anymore. Or the mobs, which quite honestly, I don't say this to be sensationalistic. These mobs are satanic. They're demonic. You see mobs of people screaming expletives, like in the case of Riley Gaines, because a woman is saying there's two genders, male and female. And as a celebrated, achieved class NC2A swimmer awarded, many of the women in those locker rooms feel endangered by a biological man sitting there with an anatomical part that they don't have. And the mob screams at her as if she's the one in the wrong. Oh, yeah, the spirit of deception is alive and well. But we need to speak truth with a capital T. Last thing I'll say, I heard one of my friends say this recently behind a pulpit, and it so resonated with me. I've got a few years on him, but I heard him say his age, I think he's 57, and he said, if you live long enough, you reach a point where you don't care what people think about you. I got him by a decade. I don't care. I just care what my Lord thinks of me, because he saved me from myself. He gives me breath. He gives me purpose. He has a plan for my life. I'm nothing without my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're not buying it, I say, I was 54. I get it. The flesh is really strong. Human will is very, very real. So I get it. I've been on both sides. But I just have to tell you, if he saved a fool like me, and only I know, aside from God, every single thing I've done in my life, man, I deserve judgment, not mercy, not grace, but he gives it to me because I gave my life to him. And on this Good Friday, I just pray, if you're listening right now, maybe you have a question about this topic, call 800-222-KABC. There's no greater issue facing us today or any moment of your life than who are you, why are you here, and is God real? All the other stuff will fall away the last moment you take breath in this very short life. Not what you did, not how much you stashed away, not how much status or notoriety, nothing. It will mean nothing. He made us. He created us in his image. We are souls. And there is absolute truth. And there is evil. And it's running rampant right now. But those of us that follow Christ, we know how this ends. But in the interim, it's time to fight. It's time to speak truth. We have open lines, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC, and we will continue with more of this, the Frank Sontag Show, next on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC, thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Phone numbers are 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. This program will not be possible for it being my sponsors. Berglund & Johnson Law Group is one of my sponsors. We had Dan on last hour. Berglund & Johnson, for more than 40 years, have been fighting for those who have suffered life-changing injuries, tragically even in the case of death because of negligence or wrongful acts. If you already have an attorney, maybe you're in a tough season. If you want a free evaluation and a second opinion, or if you just want to reach out, it costs you nothing to find out if Berglund & Johnson can help you. You'll never pay anything up front unless they win your case. Berglund & Johnson Law Group, number 800-4-IF-HURT. 800, the number 4, and the words if hurt. BerglundandJohnson.com. Let us talk to Brent in Los Angeles. Brent, you're on 790 KABC. Good to hear from you as always, Brent. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. A blessed Good Friday, Easter, and Passover, Frank.
Amen. You too.
You know that this year, God chose to overlap Easter and Passover so precisely and uniquely, I think should be seen as a powerful, hopeful, and a holy message to all lovers of God. And today, Christians and Jews love, respect, and honor each other and find themselves more interdependent than any other time in history. And frighteningly, we find ourselves in the same foxhole. So not since Pharaoh or Caesar or Führer has the devil sought so horrifically to annihilate us both, and for the identical reason. we both stand for, sacrifice for, and are willing to die for God. And the devil is demanding to crucify us both, but Passover and Easter is shouting to us, he will never prevail.
I appreciate your words very much, Brent. Thank you for sharing.
God bless you.
You too. Thank you for calling. Reminds me of a story. A number of years ago, three now, when we started hearing of the lockdowns, I heard of this Jewish doctor named Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, practiced in upstate New York, had a community of, I think, 35,000 Jews, Orthodox, in a one-mile square area. And I just heard his name one day, and I heard him, or I may have read it, I don't remember, but it came to my attention that he had taken care of hundreds of people that were really sick. We didn't know much about COVID at the time, but he started talking about this treatment called hydroxychloroquine. Now, if any of you listening have ever been overseas on a mission trip, you take hydroxychloroquine because it works against malaria. Been around for decades. And I heard Dr. Zelenko talking about this, and I was really struck by some of the things he said. He just made so much sense. Talked about early therapeutics, and didn't speak highly necessarily of the medical establishment, i.e. drug surgery. But then I think a few weeks later, I heard him on a friend's radio program. Driving into work, I used to listen to Dennis Prager all the time. We shared the same studio area, and Dr. Zelenko was on Dennis's program. And I listened to the interview, riveted. Rarely bothered Dennis when he was on the air, but I walked in and I said, could I have Dr. Zelenko's phone number? And Dennis kind of chuckled. He said, he's not really a public guy. He's an Orthodox Jew helping people in his community. He said, but I'll tell you what, give me your cell and I'll pass it on to him. And Dennis had gotten to know Dr. Zelenko a little bit. Stay with me. A few days go by, my phone rings. It's a New York number and I pick it up and it's Dr. Zelenko. And he was very stoic. First conversation I had with him. And he said, Dennis gave me your number. I just have one question for you. And I said, sure. He said, tell me about your faith in God. And I said, I'm Christian. I believe in God through Jesus Christ. I said, and ultimately, we're at a time now where there is a battle for the hearts and souls of people. And he said, you know, I'm an Orthodox Jew. And I said, I do. And he said, well, I believe we worship the same God, and so I'll be on your program anytime. Again, point being, Orthodox Jew, evangelical Christian. We bonded. We were friends for a few years till tragically he passed away. Another good friend of mine, Rabbi Yitzhak Adlerstein, who used to run the Museum of Tolerance here in Los Angeles, became a good friend of mine. First and only time I was invited to Shabbat. His family were leaving for Israel. He invited my lovely wife and I over to his house for Shabbat the Friday before we left. And him and I had plenty of laughs. He said, you know, my community's upset that I'm hanging out with a Christian. Some of your Christians, when I have him on the program, they're upset. Why am I interviewing a rabbi? And Brent just said it perfectly. We both believe in God. We're a threat to evil. And what a time to be alive. Oh, my goodness. Is this scary? Yeah, a little bit. But your faith and your sustainability in God, and I believe in the God of the Bible. I'm sure if Rabbi Adlerstein was here, he'd say, I believe in the God of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. It's funny how we get into all these semantical disagreements or denominational, I don't support that, or in this day and age, nobody can speak in tongues. So you're, oh my gosh. Look, I'm not a biblical scholar, or my acumen theologically leaves a lot to be desired. But all I know is, man, there were two thieves on the cross next to Christ the day that he was crucified. They were both probably not really good dudes. They mocked him. And then somewhere along the line, one of the thieves kind of got it. Like, wait a minute, this man did nothing. And we're all going to die. And then he said to Christ, you know, I pray that you'll remember me. And he said, you'll be with me on this day in paradise. Here's the point of that. This dude wasn't a theological scholar. He knew nothing of Christ until that moment. And Jesus said, you'll be with me today in paradise. What's my point? Am I taking faith lightly and sin lightly? No. But I'm saying, when it really comes down to it, and the Bible's filled with Jesus talking about faith and belief. You know me, you'll know the Father. You know the Father, you'll know me, his relationship with God the Father. I'm not sitting here and arguing for not going to church or not reading your Bible, but all I'm saying is it is an issue of faith ultimately. And what's your excuse? Man, I know what my excuse was for 54 years. You want me to be really transparent in this moment? I love sin. Sin can be fun. I didn't want to get right with God. I was wanting to live for me. Oh, I'll get right with God in my old age. You know, one day when I've done all those things, that I'll kind of sit down and have a conversation with God. Oh, yeah, if only life worked that way, right? We're here one moment and gone the next. No guarantees in life. None whatsoever. And for me, it took an encounter, literally. At 54 years of age, it all came to a head. And then I got it. And I say many times, God saved me from myself. So wherever you stand in this moment in your life, I pray for you. I pray that if you don't, you will know who the risen Savior is. You will give your life to him. And maybe we can have conversations, maybe a little joust, a little intellectual sparring. Oh, I don't believe that. Oh, fine, let's go. I was there 54 years. I've probably said it all and much more than maybe you have. But I know me. That's why I wasn't right with God. I loved my sin. And then one moment I recognized the love that he shed for me on that cross pales. My sin pales in comparison to what he's done for me. It was a no-brainer. I said, I'm all in. I'm all in. I give my life to you. And on this Good Friday, we understand the depth of that sacrifice, and yet we praise God for the resurrection. None of this would have any meaning whatsoever if he did not indeed resurrect on that early Sunday morning. All right, 800-222-5222. We'll jump around a little bit, open the phone lines. We've got an article on AI. We talked about AI last week. Scientists are baffled. They don't understand why Antarctica hasn't warmed for over 70 years, despite the rise in CO2, right? Climate change. And a whole lot of other issues as well. What's on your mind and in your heart tonight? Love to hear from you. 800-222-KABC. Phone lines are open, and we will continue with more of this. This is the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. I hope you're well. Thank you for joining us. We're here every Friday evening. In this segment, we're going to cover a number of different topics. Frank Motek left a screen open in front of me, a story, and it's been staring at me since I sat in this chair. I'll just read the headlines. I'm actually kind of shocked. We talk about this on the program from time to time, the idea of electric vehicles and climate change and the big push. General Motors only sold two Hummer EVs in the first quarter, while their overall sales have increased by 17.6%. You think maybe we're kind of getting it? Or I said, again, scientists are struggling to understand why Antarctica hasn't warmed for over 70 years, despite the rise in CO2. Maybe it just has to do with climate change is a hoax. A lot of corrupt people are making a lot of money over it. I just, who knows? I heard Sharon Reardon on the break make reference to John Phillips, who's on every afternoon from noon to 3, and this idea of errors made during COVID, some of the decisions. Did you see what Robert Redfield said this week? Oh, come on now. Some of you are going, who's Robert Redfield? He was the commissioner for the CDC. Listen to this. He spoke during a White House coronavirus task force and recently was interviewed. He's the ex-director of the CDC, under oath, blamed Fauci and the U.S. government for the deaths of millions of people. This is the ex-director of the CDC. Listen to this. If you went to the headlines of Google News, probably wouldn't find it. According to a commentary by Robert Malone, who I think is virtually second to none as doctors and men of integrity. If you don't know Dr. Malone's walk as it applies to this topic, please learn more about him. Dr. Malone writes, however, if you went to the headlines of Google News, there was nary a news story. I guess Google felt it wasn't important enough to warrant above the fold status. Seems like they had to make room for important news items like Harry and Meghan or Will Smith's embarrassed or a whole bunch of other stuff. So, actual testimony of Redfield was explosive, yet none of these headlines belie the gravity of Redfield's testimony. Redfield directly linked gain-of-function research in the creation of SARS-CoV to Fauci and to the U.S. government, including the Department of Defense. He believes and gave sworn testimony to the effect that Fauci and Jeremy Farrar, director of the Wellcome Trust, soon to be the chief scientist at the WHO, covered up the lab leak information. Redfield himself was excluded from the meetings when the processes, strategy, and tactics for covering up the lab leak were developed. Man, it goes on and on. This winter, we had a high-level federal employee on the farm. She came to me anonymously to express concerns about what had happened in the execution of this corrupt and failed public health response, and in particular to how the vaccines were developed and implemented. He discussed how all the high-level meetings on the clinical trials, the safety of the vaccine, and the public health response were all done under complete secrecy. Recorders were turned off. Cell phones, computers not allowed in the meetings. So there's no records of the meetings. Malone goes on to write, this person believes that finding evidence of the malfeasance in the meeting minutes or recordings is going to be difficult. So when the New York Times headliner cynically states that the Republicans lack a smoking gun, Malone says, I believe they know darn well why. The New York Times reporting and editorial staff are many things, but they're not stupid. Malone writes, here's the thing. I do speak to people working on these issues in Congress. I've been told that the federal government has a large paper trail that documents the corruption over the past 3 years. Dr. Robert Malone. And Dr. Redfield basically going, well, there was more going on than we were told, right? I made reference to Victor Davis Hanson, who's a military historian. He's written many books, author of the book The Dying Citizen. He recently wrote about the Trump indictment. He says this is a new phase never seen before. We know former President Trump indicted, connection, hush money. 34 counts of falsifying business records. I'm not a legal expert, but I just think anybody with a modicum of intelligence can see through this one. But here's what Victor Davis Hanson writes about what he calls a silent revolution. Listen to this. The Trump indictment comes at a time when many Americans are already disconnected and discontented with the state of the country and are channeling this into a silent revolution. Hanson said half the country is disconnected, citing examples of people turning away from cultural institutions for their promotion of progressive ideologies. People don't watch the Oscars, the Grammys, or the Tonys. NBA viewership has plummeted. Hanson writes the 2023 NBA All-Star Game had fewer than 5 million people on average, which represents a 27% decrease from the previous season, or the biggest single season decline since 2000. Hanson writes, people are angry that now whenever white people are mentioned, it's almost always in a disparaging way. Their frustration is leading to quiet but sweeping changes in society. Quote, when people get very angry about what's going on, they just move around the country, or they just go put their kids in Christian schools, or they homeschool. We're seeing the biggest pushback to the left in our history, but it's not just violent. He says it's people, millions of them, all leaving these cities, end quote. For example, according to U.S. Census data, California lost 700,000 people between April of 2020 and July of last year. 700,000 people. Hanson writes, quote, the big news in the next 5 years is that the cities are going to be broke. They're not going to be able to pay their pension funds, their budgets, Chicago, Baltimore, Los Angeles. It's going to be incredible, end quote. He said the Trump indictment, which may be the first of more to come, has only made people more angry. Trump's alleged affair with Stormy Daniels occurred 16 years ago. If Trump had stayed as a real estate developer in New York, Hanson said local prosecutors would probably have let him go. Quote, it was only when he was a perceived political threat that they, prosecutors, acted. He says it's not symmetrical, referring to the 20 potential felonies by various Democratic leaders he listed in his essay. Yet for those potential criminal acts, nobody said a word. He said that's going to get people angry. I think that's what makes people the most angry. But as the left keeps pushing the envelope, he predicts that it will precipitate other kinds of responses. Finally, he said, quote, when you see what they're doing at those universities, they storm in and shout people down. I think they're going to be shocked when they see a reaction to it. I don't know what the reaction is going to be, but you can't continue like that, end quote, Victor Davis Hanson. And we talked about Riley Gaines speaking at San Francisco State University last night, shouted down by trans activists, call her a bunch of expletives. There's simply, she's there to talk about her experience as an NCAA swimming athlete, celebrated awards, and as a biological woman, saying, you know, Leah Thomas, biological dude, NCAA said, oh no, he can swim as a she. May not have the parts of a she, but he can swim as a she. And Riley Gaines just saying, not only is this unfair, but ultimately it endangers young women. And for that, the mob cornered her last night, punched her. She was holed up in a room for 3 hours, called her husband, saying, a guy in a dress punched me 3 times. It's all on video. We'll see what happens from there. San Francisco used to be one of my favorite cities. Now I'm waiting any day for that place no longer to even be a city. 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222. Our final segment is next. I think we've taken one call tonight. Why don't we get a couple calls? Anything on your mind? Share. We'd love to hear from you. 800-222-5222. And our final segment for this Good Friday is next here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Few stories, a couple closing comments, a couple of emails that have just come in. By the way, I haven't mentioned our email address. It comes directly to me, frank@kmgministries.com. Listener Britt writes, wow. That's all. Just a wow. I guess we'll just leave that up to interpretation. Britt, write me another email. I'd love to know what you mean by wow. And then listener Jenny says, thank you for what you said about Good Friday. You're very welcome, Jenny. God bless you. frank@kmgministries.com, and we are here every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific on Talk Radio 790 KABC. This story is a little troubling, but I just am about facts and perspective. The Washington Stand is a site I go to a lot for stories. This one is entitled, Not Just Nashville. Attacks against churches nearly tripled in 2023. It reads, last week's mass murder of six people at a church-run Christian school constitutes 2023's deadliest act of violence against churches, which have increased nearly three times this year compared to last year. A new report finds the number of anti-church attacks in 2022 had tripled over 4 years. In all, assailants attacked churches 69 times in the first 3 months of 2023. That's staggering, compared with 24 such acts during the same period last year, a 288% increase. The rising tempo of anti-Christian assaults, which includes arsons, bomb threats, vandalism, has affected places of worship in 29 states. The acts of anti-church aggression documented between January and March of this year includes 53 incidents of vandalism, 10 suspicious fires, 3 gun-related incidents, 3 bomb threats, including a pipe bomb recovered outside of Philadelphia's 127-year-old St. Dominic Catholic Church. Last month, transgender activists lashed out at Kentucky legislators who voted against their agenda by defacing a historic church. January abortion activists spray-painted the words women's body, women's choice over a pro-life banner hanging outside St. Stephen's Catholic Church in Riverview, Florida. Police say a 40-year-old man named Peter Ceroli vandalized 3 Roman Catholic churches in New Jersey on the same morning, including burning a 10-foot-tall cross on the lawn of St. Patrick Catholic Church in Woodbury on January 13th. Funny, I didn't see any of this in the news. In all, researchers documented a total of 543 attacks on 517 separate churches between January 2018 and March of this year. Despite the quickening pulse of anti-Christian crimes, some of which have been investigated as hate crimes, conservatives say the Biden administration has been too lax in its response. Speechless. Last week we talked about AI and an expert saying we need to at least put a big pause on AI. Tech giant Sam Altman compares AI research to the dawn of nuclear warfare. Tech CEO of OpenAI compared his firm's work on AI, artificial intelligence, to the Manhattan Project. Sam Altman is the CEO of OpenAI. After the release of the powerful AI system, more than 2,000 tech experts and leaders across the world signed a letter calling for a pause on research at AI Labs, specifically demanding an immediate pause for at least 6 months on the training of AI systems more powerful than GPT-4. Elon Musk and Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak, part of a letter put together by many others, said the hype over AI is currently out of control and needs to stop. The Musk-backed letter is calling for a pause to give the AI labs and policymakers space to create safeguards and rules on artificial intelligence. Okay. So here we are. Let me sit back here for a moment, pull the mic up, talk to you for the few moments we have left. One of my sadnesses in radio is I'll more than likely never meet 99.9% of you. Never know how many people are listening on any given Friday night. Some of you may be regular listeners. Some of you, like Britt, who sent me an email, just said, wow, maybe this is the first time you've heard me. But here's what I'd like to tell you. I'm no different than any of you. I'm trying to figure things out in this life as well. Searching. I became a follower of Christ 12 years ago. Now I pray constantly. And yet, I think this life is precious. I think life is precious, period. I used to mock the Bible. Now it's spiritually what gives me breath to live. Bible says, no greater love hath he than to lay his life down for a friend. Sacrifice. Virtue. Duty. Discipline. When I look at what's going on in the world right now, I think many of us say, oh no. And I think many of us that know who we are in relation to God, we say, oh, yes. What a time to be alive. And I understand the big hype Sunday. Bring a friend to church who doesn't know who Jesus is. I support that 1,000 times 1,000. But come Monday, after Sunday, after Easter and all is said and done, I believe the truth is that there is still a Savior that hung on a cross for you, so you can get right with God in this life and then understand who you are and what this is all about, the miracle and the mystery of life. It's just amazing. It's just amazing, the miracle that this is. And so many of us just, for reasons of which, pain, abuse, addictions, we struggle. May not ever get there. Until maybe you're at the end of yourself. And my prayer is that you will just cry out to God. Please help me. Please save me. And he hears you. And the God that I follow, I absolutely believe, has been waiting for you to say those words. And I'll say this as just one man. If I can serve you or help you in any way, please reach out to me. Just send me an email, frank@kmgministries.com. It just goes to me. I don't have a staff. I don't have people read my emails. Comes to me. Let me know how I can serve you or help you. And together, we can stand shoulder to shoulder and kind of make sense out of this life, and then really get after it, live life to its fullest. Amen. I thank you for listening tonight. I thank Wayman and Adam in the other room. And I thank you for making this program possible. Thank you to Dan Johnson. And Lord willing, we'll be back here next Friday evening, as we are every Friday evening from 7 until 9 p.m. Pacific. This is the Frank Sontag Show on the first talk radio station right here in Southern California. We are Talk Radio 790 KABC. God bless each and every one of you.